We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there, Knicks fans. How you doing? It's your boy, Jonathan Macri, with you for another edition of the Knicks Film School Podcast, but not just any edition. No, sir. Ree Bob. I'm loony. In case you guys can't tell, I've lost it. No more marbles left here. It is a free agency Eve edition for us, a free agency morning edition for you. I'm going to speak a little bit more about what we're going to talk about today in a moment. But first, let me introduce my co-host who was going, look at him going back and forth with Eric Pincus on Twitter about cap minutia mechanics, about signing trades and trade exceptions and just the nerdery. I don't know if that's a word, but it should be. Jeremy Cohen.
It's a word now. That's what's important. Hello.
Yeah. Hello.
I know. This is a magical time. It's a time of opportunity. It's the calm before the storm. It's the time maybe of despair, depending on how you want to view it. I think it's just exciting and fun, and I'm anxious, but I'm confident. You know, like, again, I don't think there have been any damaging moves, and you could say, oh, well, with 1-year contracts every year, basically, then how could there be so many damaging moves? There really aren't. I'm curious to see how this is, because this is seeming to all tie into what next summer will be. But who knows? Maybe as you're listening to this today, it hits the fan and it's a completely different situation.
I have some thoughts on that. I have many thoughts.
Oh, do you now?
Yes. let me first say, okay, so what are we going to talk about today? So we're going to give you a look back behind the curtain. Our intention was actually not to drop a podcast today. Our intention was to have our locker room discussion, our 2-hour locker room, or no, sorry, not locker
room. Green room.
Was it any more functional as locker room, or is 6 1/2 dozen the other? No, it's the same shit. Our green room discussion from Saturday, in which we got into a lot of good stuff, and have that be the pod. And then tonight, Jeremy and I will be going live at 5 p.m. on the Knicks Film School YouTube channel. And we will take you from 5 p.m. until who knows when. We'll be on there for a while.
Eastern Standard Time, baby.
Eastern Standard Time, yes. But thanks to the fine folks at Spotify, gotta love those folks, good folks. That audio was lost to time. Hopefully not like New York's free agent plans. So we're dropping a little extra pod for you, and the purpose of this podcast is just to kind of get you set up to lay out the lay of the land, as it were, based on what we know as of, my clock reads, 8:49 p.m., again, Eastern Standard Time on Sunday night. So, if we talk about something, and you, by the time you listen to this, whatever the fuck it is irrelevant, don't blame us, because this shit happens. Before I get into the news, I'm going to ask you very quickly, Jeremy, reading the internet tea leaves, it seems, just from reading the things that are out there, that the most likely scenario that the Knicks end up with, if you had to put your chip on one of the many. There's 36 spots on a roulette wheel, right? So this is like one of the 36. Fournier and Schroeder being what we end up with. Like, we're sitting here, it's this time tomorrow, 4 for 80, Fournier. Let's be kind to ourselves. 3 for 63, Schroeder, third year team option. And then whatever, we bring back Bullock or we bring back Rose or something like that. If that's what happens, how are you going to feel?
Well, I think the first thing is that if the bidding got up to $20 million for Evan Fournier a year, I'm going to be a little upset. Again, I'm not against paying him. I think that the Knicks should and will have one long-term contract. It's just a matter of how much that is, because you're trying to prioritize next year as well. So can you sign someone to a long-term deal where if you need to meet, you know, move them, that's fine down the line. But the idea of trying to sign them this year and then still create enough space to sign someone like Bradley Beal, maybe someone like Zach LaVine, trying to fix and figure out what those pieces are. And if you're giving Evan Fournier $20 million, that's going to create quite a few obstacles to help you get to Beal. You can get to LaVine, but not to Beal. And if you're giving Dennis Schroeder a guaranteed second year, forget it. You're relying on the sign and trade to get some type of star. Or you're just trading outright. And I think one thing, you know, I don't want to throw too much at once, but just to keep in mind, if you're thinking about, oh, well, the Knicks could sign and trade. This weekend, Knicks made a few moves, one of which was making sure Mitchell Robinson is an unrestricted free agent next season. So the Knicks on their plan is basically to sign or re-sign Julius Randle and Mitch. They could do that. But if they also do a sign and trade for a star, then they get a hard cap. And if they get hit with the hard cap, then that might affect how much they do. So the bottom line
could,
here
how
is
much they it might affect how much they could sign those players to in an extension.
Correct. So okay. the main takeaway here is that this free agency period, what I hope is relatively soon, but you know, who knows how long it could last, we get a very good idea as to who would have to stay and who would have to go in order for some sort of move to be made. I really find it hard to believe that this front office, which has been so economical and strategical when it comes to these contracts, that they're going to get, you know, two players on guaranteed contracts. That would surprise me quite a bit.
I think the evidence suggests that you are 100% correct. We don't have to get into it right now. We've had this conversation before. This is where me and you differ. I tend to think that the NBA is changing by the day, if not by the hour, where teams are just, they're not as worried about, now I should say teams. The Knicks have seemingly been very worried about cap space for some time now, and this regime in particular. So for them to sign multiple players to multiple guaranteed years would seem to be out of character for them. I just am a little bit more skeptical about how it, or if this is the day that they turn over a new leaf. That's all. And basically be like, we're going to sign guys to deals that we feel they will, at the very least, if not outperform, perform up to or in the range of, such that including them in a trade for a player that would then be signed and traded to them would be feasible. That obviously does not address the issues that you referenced about potentially being hard capped and not, but I'm not sure. I don't know. I wonder how much they're worried about that right now. But we don't have to. That's a conversation for another day. Perhaps next week when we talk about the moves that they made. For now, let's talk about what's on the table. I'll ask you, where do you want to start? Because we're just going to run through all of kind of where things stand. So where's the first place you want to go?
Sure. I mean, should we take a look at basically what the Knicks are likely to enter with and then kind of go from there?
Perfect. So we'll run through very quickly just because I have it up. Hopefully I got all this. This is a good way for me to edit my newsletter for tomorrow. I could just read through everything, and if I've missed something, you'll tell me. Okay, so you already referenced Mitchell Robinson. Mitchell Robinson will not be a restricted free agent. this summer, although they could still sign him to a contract extension starting next season, 21-22, or even potentially this season, because they still have the option to rip that $1.8 million he's playing for this year in half and have his extension start this season, although that's highly unlikely because that would involve using cap space, which we don't really have to get into too much, but it's probably not going to happen. Frank Ntilikina, no qualifying offer. It's only a matter of time before we hear that they've renounced his cap hold, which is, I think, $14 million because he didn't hit the starter criteria, or is it 18? I always get confused with that. It's 18? Okay.
It doesn't. It's zero.
The starter criteria affects the qualifying offer?
I'm not entirely sure in that sense.
It's funky, though.
It is.
It's a lot of money. They're going to renounce it. That's the point.
He's gone.
That's the point.
Frank is unfortunately gone. At least
they may bring him back for like the vet minimum or something. Norvell Pell, it was nice knowing you, buddy. You are gone. Julius Randle, you are staying. I should surprise nobody. The Knicks, his $19.8 million is fully guaranteed. And I think that's it, unless I miss something.
That's about it.
Okay, so that will leave them with... Oh, and we should also say, because Keith Smith tweeted out earlier today some salary cap totals of what teams are likely to have. He tweeted out, I think, a number of 53-point-something million, but because he responded to me, he's assuming that they waive Luka Vildoza, which they may do. They may not do. We don't know. So I will then turn it over to you, Jeremy.
Sure. I don't think they're going to waive Luka Vildoza. I think that's kind of a pretty, I don't want to say egregious, but, and I'm not talking about that from the player standpoint. It's like the Knicks signing Vildoza away from his home team or the team he was playing on in Spain. And then being like, oh yeah, by the way, we've cut you. And goodbye. I just don't see it happening. I think they will guarantee him, but the point is they don't have to do anything. I mean, they don't have to do anything until the day after opening night, where they can cut him and not spend any money.
Day before, yeah.
Yeah. So if we are assuming this situation, basically where we have Julius Randle, RJ Barrett, Kevin Knox, Obi Toppin, Luka Vildoza, Emmanuel Quickley, Quentin Grimes, and Mitchell Robinson. Right. So that is that's eight players, which basically would mean
for anybody who's wondering why you didn't mention the other rookies. That was the whole, and we're not going to talk about the draft right now. The whole deal with them moving from the first round to the second round to select Deuce McBride is that contract slot does not. They will sign Deuce McBride to a contract and it will count for whatever counts against cap. But that slot is not currently showing up on their cap. So it's not. It's as if for right now, for the purposes of what they could spend this summer, Deuce McBride does not exist. Is that fair to say?
Yes. Second round picks don't have cap holds, so they count as zero right now. And, you know, I mean, like there's Pinson and there's Jared Harper, but we're just going to assume that they're waived. They could always bring him back in some form. But those eight players are under contract right now. And by the time we actually, you know, have this drop and in between free agency, there's a good chance the NBA comes out with a new salary cap because they looked at the finances and thought, actually, we can increase it. So this might change a little bit. But as of right this moment, the Knicks have $51.4 million to spend. And they would have, if we have eight players there, and then we're assuming, you know, McBride gets a guaranteed contract of sorts, Taj Gibson's back, now we're at 10, which means that you have still, I mean, you can go over the cap to sign those guys, but the bottom line being $51.4 million to sign five players, and they also have the room exception once they spend all of that.
Which is about $5 million bucks.
Right. So, you know, that's the sort of thing. You can give one player $20 million. You can give another player $18 million. That's 38. You still have $13 million left over to give to someone that you could maybe do on a one-year deal. Or you take on some sort of salary dump if it is available. Maybe you also trade out Kevin Knox's salary. That can create more opportunities.
Can we touch on that very briefly? Because, again, as I was jokingly referencing, but it was a good conversation you were having with Mr. Pincus earlier on Sunday. about the prospect of a Dennis Schroeder sign and trade. We don't have to get into the reasons, because this isn't a Lakers podcast, as to why it would behoove the Lakers to sign and trade Dennis Schroeder as opposed to just letting him walk in free agency. But just take our word for it, it would behoove them. The mechanics of this is they're trying to get Buddy Hield, allegedly. But again, because of the cap stuff, they would need to, if they're signing and trading Dennis Schroeder to somewhere else, someone would need to send something back to, or they would have to send something back to Sacramento to make that deal feasible. My thinking is, if the Knicks needed the cap room, Kevin Knox could go find himself over in Sacramento, which if they needed an extra $5.8 million, the Knicks I'm talking about, I don't think that that's nuts. Now, would the Lakers then be sending a 2027 first round pick to Sacramento for their trouble? Would they be sending it to the Knicks for their trouble? I don't really know, but just I wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. The Lakers will want someone better than Schroeder, at least who fits what they're doing. And the concept there being, if they did trade Schroeder to the Knicks, minimum contract has to be for that sign and trade 3 years, but only the first year has to be guaranteed. So as a reminder, you know, when Austin Rivers was signed and traded to the Knicks, the second year and the third year, they're both non-guaranteed and out he went. So the idea here would be the Knicks could always sign a player like Schroeder away for nothing, at least just cap space. But by doing the Lakers some sort of solid, they open up a little bit more money and then they can take in a contract. It wouldn't be enough for Hield, but they could always try to take in someone that's making $18 million, for example. And then they could later try to flip that for Buddy Hield when the matching is effective. It's cap minutia. So the bottom line is that, yes, as John's saying, the Lakers trading Schroeder to the Knicks would actually be pretty decent for all parties involved, unless, of course, you hate Schroeder with a burning passion, which it's very clear that several of you do, as when I just tweeted about it. It was pretty funny to see.
Let me speak to that. I mean, look, we'll talk about it if it happens. I'm not a Schroeder guy. You guys, I hope, know by now I'm not a Schroeder guy. I just don't think he's that great. That said, I think if they get him, he's not going to be the only move they make. And I think they're going to, I would not be surprised in the least. Because if, again, referencing what the two guys who you are hearing associated with the Knicks are Schroeder and Fournier being there, Fournier is a really good shooter. I'm not a Fournier guy either. That dude could shoot. That dude could put the ball on the floor. He's a dynamic offensive player. I feel like he would be a nice complement to Schroeder, who is not really a shooter. And also, you're not married to Schroeder being on the floor at all times. I think he could be your starter, your nominal starter. But Fournier has run offenses before. I don't know who is actually running, point for France in the Olympics, but like, for all intents and purposes, Fournier is running their offense. Like, he could do that. So if you're visualizing like a game that starts with Schroeder at the point, but finishes with, let's say, Fournier, RJ, Randall, a traditional center, and, you know, pick your wing, maybe Quentin Grimes. Like, that's interesting to me. One note on the room exception, it's about $5 million for anybody out there thinking that maybe that's a home for Derrick Rose. Maybe that's a home for Alec Burks. Maybe that's a home for Reggie Bullock. My sense is that the market for all of those players is about double what the room exception would be. Jeremy, do you disagree with that?
I don't. I mean, think about it. Derrick Rose just had the third best finish, finished the bronze medal, if you will, for the Sixth Man of the Year award.
And was the best player in the playoffs, right?
Right. Right. He's 33 years old. He wants more years, I'm sure of it. And here's the thing. If you're a Knicks fan and you're thinking, well, why can't Rose just be the starter? He's just not viewed that way anymore.
He doesn't want that.
Like, even if you're thinking, well, he can start and play 25 minutes and that's fine. I think a big factor here, and look, I know that the last two seasons have not been 82 game seasons. That's for certain. But Derrick Rose hasn't played more than 60 games a year since the first time he was a Knick. And I think there's legitimate concern from the Knicks' perspective of A, giving him long-term money, and B, of basically what role he would be in. Because I think that they'll see Vildoza or McBride and IQ as being able to, I don't want to say make up for what he can do, but But you also have to think maybe there's a regression factor. Maybe as good as Rose was, is he going to replicate all of that? And I think that's where also with Schroeder, it kind of comes into play. Like, I am also not a Dennis Schroeder fan, but I can't believe I'm like at the point where I'm saying this, but it almost feels like Dennis Schroeder is becoming underrated by how much people seem to be against the move, only because, like, you know, he spots up fine. He drives, he converts at the rim, he passes out of drives. Like, he is in so many ways your typical Tibbs point guard. He can finish at the basket perfectly fine. And then you have the negatives, right? Like, he's still not great on offense. His efficiency in general, every single year, is pretty much not good.
It's in the 45th percentile for his position. He's like consistently slightly below average in terms of overall efficiency. But the thing that you should note on that is the overall efficiency factors in his 3-point shooting, which is ass.
Yes.
Which a compliment is coming inside the arc. He's not any great shakes, but you could live with what he does inside the arc. And right. I think if there's one thing the Knicks navigated fairly well last year, it was Elfrid Payton's lack of an outside shot. That said, people talk about this all the time. There's 82 game players and there's 16 game players. I think that Dennis Schroeder is more of a 82 game player. So which lends credence to your theory about 1 year,
right?
One guaranteed year,
no more guaranteed from there. And again, like, you know, you can do things with that. You can flip him if you needed to, some sort of situation. You could keep him for the year. He's also a great cutter. The Knicks were terrible at cutting last year, and that's something he does really well. So
yes,
getting the ball, I think there's also this idea that he's super ball dominant. I don't see it as such. I think he's the fact that he spots up pretty well and does it at a high frequency shows that the ball's not always in his hands. He runs pick and roll pretty well. And on defense, it's like he's a bit of a pest. And what he's athletic. He's really quick. So it's that sort of thing where, again, like, I know it sounds like I'm talking myself into him. Again, he is not my number one choice. But then when you look at a lot of the other options where there are, you know, like your Conleys of the world, your Lowry's, your Chris Paul's, and then looking at, you know, Dinwiddie, all these guys who, if the Knicks are trying to figure out something where they can get a wing long term past this year, and then they're looking for a 1 year guard, that sort of thing, then that I understand it more. In restricted free agents, you have to offer them at least 2 years.
Yeah.
And Devontae Graham has good aspects. For example, like, he pulls up well. He's become a better passer. I don't know if he's a primary. So he's also one of the worst 11. Players. He is. He's shorter. And I mean, Schroeder's not exactly tall, but he's not quite that short. And the other thing about Devontae Graham is he is one of the worst players to finish at the rim. Like, the last 2 years, his around the basket are like 7th percentile and 3rd percentile this past year. It's terrible. So it's that sort of thing where when you get down to it, it's like whittling down the competition. And who are you really left with? Patty Mills. He's not a starter. He's a bench player. There are all it's these guys happen. Where you could say, you know, like, oh, well, Elfrid Payton started last year, so they could start. Sure. But again, if we're talking about the Elfrid Payton bar, it's all the way down here. Dennis Schroeder is still pretty far above it. He's just not, like, you know, the type of point guard that you want, which is why I'll be very apathetic to it. But I will be furious if it's a second year guarantee. And I understand the whole idea of sign and trades and blah, blah, blah. Still, if Dennis Schroeder gets at least 2 years that are guaranteed, I'm going to be pretty upset.
I won't blame you for that. We'll see. I have a funny feeling they're going to wind up with Schroeder.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Let's go through some of the other point guards. So for anybody who hasn't been on Twitter all weekend, the two headliners for this free agency, if you're wondering, yes, they will be Chris Paul and Kawhi Leonard, because both of those players opted out of their player option. So they will, quote unquote, be on the market. We're not going to sit here and talk about Kawhi and Chris Paul, because what the fuck are we going to say? Maybe something crazy happens. Probably not. They're probably going to wind up right there.
I'll say one thing.
Say what you're going to say, yeah.
One thing. Let's forget about Chris Paul for a second. With Kawhi.
So we're going to get Kawhi, Chris Paul, and we're going to try.
Yeah. Kawhi opted out of his contract.
Yes, he did.
And at first it was like, huh, that's a little odd. Why wouldn't he just opt in and get a 4-year extension? Yeah. What he's doing instead is he's going to take a 1-1.
Probably.
So then then the Clippers have his full bird rights, because he will have been on the team for 3 years. He'll opt out. And then at the age of 31, he'll sign a 5-year max contract. And the reason that's important is because now that they have his bird rights, they can add 5 years to that, and he can get 8% raises. So not bad for him. So, but that's why. So earlier the thought of like, why is he opting out? It's because of that.
If there is a burbling, sneaky suspicion about what Leon Rose has planned for the next 24 hours, I think we could all agree it has to do with Chris Paul. We'll see. I saw 3 for 90 as a number that was bandied about on Twitter, which is obviously always correct. I don't know.
I think he'll get more, because if Lowry is potentially getting that, although, who knows what the deal is with Lowry in Miami. So if I'm Chris Paul and I'm looking at Kyle Lowry, I say I want more money than he is.
Let's go there next, because you're probably like, why are you talking about Kyle Lowry? The Knicks could offer Kyle. Look, you may choose to ignore the scuttlebutt. I don't ignore the butt. The butt's powerful. The butt is there for a reason. You got to pay attention to the butt. And the butt says that Kyle Lowry is probably going to be a member of the Miami Heat. Although that got a little bit more complicated today, which we'll get to in a second. But if he's not going to be a member of the Heat, it sounds like Dallas and New Orleans are the two teams that are going after him and going after him hard. Obviously, there's only one Kyle Lowry. He could only end up with one of those teams, which then gets into the domino effect of free agency. And it is shaking out to, it seems to me to be shaking out, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you have a different opinion, Jeremy, that Spencer Dinwiddie is kind of the next guy in line, that it, once Lowry signs, then is it a Dinwiddie sign and trade to Washington, which is where there's some buzz. Does Dallas make a late push for Dinwiddie, or does Dallas just go try to bring back Timmy? Does New Orleans try to make a push for Dinwiddie? More dominoes. Do they try to hang on to Lonzo Ball, who reports are that he is looking to go to Chicago, who cannot afford him right now. They still have to do some stuff, which, man, this is where it gets into some really fun things. Whatever you want to comment on any of that. Did I hit the big ones, or is there anybody else I left out?
No, I think that is pretty much everything. At least the quote unquote top guys who are at the point guard spot. If assuming you want to call Lonzo a point guard, then yeah, that's essentially what's going to be the case. For Dinwiddie, yeah, it seems that him going to Washington makes sense, and the Wizards could, the Wizards have have more wings than a Super Bowl party, so they could send something back to the Nets in some way. Like, I would get it. It's just
Wait, hold on. How long have you, admit it, this is a safe space, how long have you had that in your back pocket? Is it weeks? Is it months?
I messaged it yesterday to Prez. So, like, it's not like it was off the cuff.
It's days. I'll be honest. It's a day.
But I was proud of myself when I thought of that. And I thought it was.
I would have been too.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you for the hand clap. Yeah, exactly. So, but, you know, like, that's again what we're looking at. So how much more are we doing here in terms of the point guard spot? And then that's why it's like, okay, you want to trade for someone? You could trade for someone, but you got to be willing to now pay for a player like Colin Sexton. How willing are the Cavs to give them up? Clearly, they didn't have interest in making that type of deal, or the Knicks didn't make the deal. Like,
I think that ship sailed. I think that's right. Gone.
So what are we left with? What point guards are here that are going to be doing something? And then I think there's this idea of it's like, okay, why don't the Knicks start Emmanuel Quickly? And I just do not see that happening. I don't see the Knicks elevating Quickly to the lead point guard position.
They're not going
to
do it.
They enter the year still with all this money that they didn't spend, period. And they're saying, yeah, it's the guy that we have starting for us is an internal promotion. I think Quickly will have more responsibility this year. I just don't see it as like he is the guy. And until he's able to, you know, finish better around the basket, be a better playmaker and passer, you know, he's fine, he's good, it's just starting caliber wise he's not there yet, and that's fine. I believe he can get there, it's just not yet. Finding someone who is a more ready win now player, and you have all this money at your disposal, so you might as well use it.
There's two things that I think Tibbs made abundantly clear to us last year with Elfrid Payton. It's that he wants a point guard, as you said before, who relentlessly puts pressure on the rim, and he is willing to work around inefficiencies or imperfections with that player. And I think what you said before about Schroeder being a really good cutter is absolutely prescient, because all those possessions where people would clip on Twitter after a game, there's Payton over there and there's no one within 15 fucking feet of him. He would never. I can't remember a single fucking Elfrid Payton cut from last year. If somebody out there remembers it, send me a clip. I'll be happy to repost it. I don't remember it. Schroeder's really good at that, and I think if Schroeder winds up being their backup plan, I could see Tibbs being like, okay, that's fine. And it would really lend credence to your theory. About them wanting to have only one guy with multiple years if Schroeder ends up coming on 1 year. And that being the reason that they don't go hard after a Dinwiddie or potentially a Lowry. If you think there was ever a real chance of them getting Lowry, I'm not sure I do. Because I could see them prioritizing a wing, a ball moving and a shooting wing more than the point guard spot, which may seem a little nuts, but I don't know.
Just for what it's worth, because yes, you mentioned it and I decided to look it up. So last season with Elfrid Payton, as a cutter, he cut on 38 total possessions. 38. That was 4.9% of the time for the things he did, right? So he was pick and roll ball hander, 45% of the time, spot up, transition, offensive rebounds, cutting was fifth, right?
Okay.
He was in the eighth percentile in cutting. Eighth percentile. Okay. Dennis Schroeder did it only 2% of the time. So not a whole lot, but he got more reps, right? But at least in terms of other areas. He had 21 possessions. He grades out as 89th percentile. Excellent. Look, I understand that it's still a small percentage and percentile or possession amount, whatever you want to call it. He still consistently has done better jobs over the years. It's not like 1 year where he's good and, you know, like he's done it before. It works out. And the Knicks as a team, I think they were, let's see. Yep. They were 30th. They were last in the NBA in cuts.
Yeah.
So we're talking about someone who does have, you know, strengths that can actually contribute to better basketball. And if you do Schroeder and Fournier, it's not sexy. I get it. But how many people are really going to be like, oh yeah, I'm totally cool with Cameron Payne? Be realistic. Think about it. Like,
they're going to sign Schroeder before Payne. They're going to sign Schroeder before Payne.
And they should, because Schroeder has more experience and he can actually start more consistently. And there's more proof to that. And again, this, it sucks that I have to talk myself into Dennis Schroeder or the idea of it on the eve of free
agency. I don't want to do it either. I don't like Schroeder.
Of course not. Yeah. I'm not thrilled with it, but it's not like, oh, Alfred Payton, fine. You know, he's like the only option on the table. He's not. Schroeder is still a better option than other people. Fans just don't like him and they see the attitude. And again, like, we have seen what it takes in this entire situation with Tibbs. It's a no-nonsense thing. They're not going to bring in Dennis Schroeder if they think he's going to be some sort of huge distraction or issue. And it's worth mentioning that it all plays in with agency. That Dennis Schroeder is rep by Octagon. Luca Vildoza is also Octagon. Alec Burks is Octagon. There's some give and take. And I'm sure that the Knicks probably don't have their sights set on one Stephen Curry, but he's, again, with Octagon. A lot of things are agent related. You can
fucking madness.
But of course, but the point being is, you know, like, it's never worked for the Knicks before, but that doesn't mean it never will work. You keep your options open, and if they feel Schroeder's the best option that is available to them, given the conditions that they have, so be it.
I think the takeaway, if you're listening to this and you're like, go sell crazy someplace else, we're all stuck up here. This summer is not, the Knicks are not, whatever they do in the hours after you listen to this, they don't think that these moves are leading them to a championship. They're trying to just get to the next step, which is, you know, in case you haven't noticed around the NBA, players want to go to organizations where they feel like they can win a championship. That is the first goal. Everything else comes secondary, which is why you hear and you get annoyed when you look on Twitter and you're like, what, the Lakers are just going to fucking event cap space? Well, there's a reason that these players want to climb over themselves to go to organizations like this. Yes, being in LA helps. Yes, Miami is a very lovely locale. But players want to go to organizations that have shown a proven track record of being able to win. The Knicks want to get better this year. Which is why if you're waiting for them to go the next several days without spending any money, or take on, I don't know what salary dumps are even available right now, that's not going to happen. They're going to spend money. They're going to try to get as good as they can while towing the line that Jeremy, holds so holy. You do kind of hold the
it's near and dear to my heart. 100%.
You spray holy, if you weren't Jewish, you would spray, holy. Well, you can't spray holy water. Sprinkle holy water.
You could spray it. You know, like when the pandemic was going, I saw some priests shooting water guns with holy water. So you could do it. You got to be creative during a pandemic, John. That's the bottom line.
The Exorcist 4, Leon Rose's Revenge. I don't know where I got that from. Anyway, a couple other things and then we'll finish up here. We should mention that. So I do want to get to this. You want to hear my crazy theory?
I do, John. I want to hear your crazy theory.
Okay. There is another point guard option for the Knicks, and that is one Goran Dragic. Goran Dragic was thought by many to be a free agent, who's going to be a free agent, because the Knicks or the Heat would decline his team option. That is not the case. They picked up his 19 point whatever million dollar team option today on Sunday. And now are left in a situation where if they want Kyle Lowry, they're going to have to acquire him via sign and trade because they don't have the requisite cap space. I would not be shocked if completely shocked if we were sitting here in a couple of days and looking at Goran Dragic in a Knick uniform as the Knicks get in as the third team potentially in a three-team deal involving the Heat and the Raptors, because if you believe the reports that are out there, if Dragic is indeed sent back to the Raptors and Lowry sign and trade, he's probably just going to be bought out, which I don't know. Why would the Raptors want to do that? Which gets me back to my crazy theory. Okay, here we go. I don't know if I'm ready for this. Jeremy, I'm sure you noticed. Actually, I think I referenced this in our green room. Bobby Marks pointed out recently that you are allowed, if you have a restricted free agent, to reduce their cap hold from, in the case of Duncan Robinson and Kendrick Nunn, from $4.7 million to $1.7 million, but it would make them unrestricted. You're familiar with this, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Obviously, a team would never do this unless they've agreed with the restricted free agent ahead of time that, like, look, we got this worked out. We're going to lower this, but we have a handshake deal. You're going to re-sign with us. But it would give Miami, it would have, had they not picked up Dragic's option, it would have been able to get Miami up to $27 million in cap space for Kyle Lowry. It's a lot of money, right? Good first year salary for Kyle Lowry. They did not do that. You know what that tells me? It tells me a couple things. One, it tells me they're not sure that they have Kyle Lowry in the bag. More importantly, it tells me that they have not yet come to any agreement with Duncan Robinson and that they are still negotiating and that Duncan Robinson can be had. And that because they're not sure about all this, they're potentially worried about losing Goran Dragic or losing out on Lowry potentially. And then they wouldn't have a point guard because they would have let Dragic go. I think Duncan Robinson can be had. I think the Knicks' secret plan A is to go big and go hard after Duncan Robinson with a massive offer sheet that gets Miami to look at itself and be like, wait a minute. Jimmy Butler is about 72 hours away from walking into, if you're Pat Riley, my office and demanding a full max contract. I got Bam, $30 million a year, trying to bring in Lowry, $30 million a year. And now I got the Knicks offering Duncan Robinson. I don't know, Jeremy, what do you think's crazy? What's crazy to you? How crazy are you feeling?
How crazy am I feeling? Not as crazy as you must be feeling, my friend.
You want to know the number in my head?
What's the number in your head?
$100 million for four years.
So you're telling me that the Knicks are going to offer Duncan Robinson
4 years,
$25 million a year?
$25 million a year.
I'm going to need a Tums just from that. My goodness.
I'm not going to spoil my whole newsletter because I wrote all about it, but I think he's worth it. I think he's a contract that you could move if you need to. Even at that
$25 million a year?
$25 million a year.
That is a lot of money. That is, I mean, for context, like Joe Harris and Davis Bertans are earning 16, 17, 18 million, and we're giving Duncan Robinson 25?
And they're not as good a shooter, and they're not as dangerous a shooter as Duncan Robinson.
But that's an $8 million difference is what we're basically saying here. That we're saying, add an extra third of what they're earning, and that's Duncan Robinson. To me, that is, you can find, look, he's an elite shooter. Absolutely. Yeah. Spot up.
He is the most elite shooter
nicely.
This side of Stephen Dame.
But $25 million elite shooter, I can't get there.
Whether he's worth $25 million or not, whether he's worth $25 million a year or not, I think is, and this, by the way, this is not a hot take. This is, I believe this is something they should do. I don't know if they will do it. I think it's in there. I think it's something they're considering. And I don't know that they'll need to go to 25, but I'm just wondering, what would you have to make that contract for Riley not to match? Maybe 20, was it 21, 22? Maybe you
again,
do three
I think
years
the big
with a,
thing,
what?
The big thing here, at least with the contract situation that Duncan Robinson has, right? Like how you're saying he's a restricted free agent and getting it down to the unrestricted amount, they can always rescind the amount. So Duncan Robinson could just, say, no, I'm not taking that, decline it. And then they can still work together on a deal and then be like, all right, cool. We're going to lower your cap hold. And then you'll, when we're over the cap, you'll re-sign with us. That sort of thing. I can't see
the
Knicks
do that down the line.
Right.
But what if the Knicks come at him first and be like, here are all the bags. James Dolan should go to the fucking ATM himself and take out that money and then put it in Louis Vuitton bags and fly his little fucking jet down to Miami or wherever the hell Duncan Robinson is and hand him the Louis Vuitton bags full of cash. That's what I want.
$100 million worth of cash for Duncan Robinson. Yeah. $100 million.
Yeah, I would do it.
I would not. I would definitely not. But here's the thing. The timing of all of this, right? The Heat aren't going to make Duncan Robinson an unrestricted free agent.
No, they're not.
Unless they feel like, right, exactly. So here's the thing, though. With the moratorium, basically it ends on August 6th. Then you can start signing guys. Once August 6th occurs, that's when teams can start signing players to offer sheets and getting things done that way. And then the team has 48 hours to match or not. In that time, there's still going to be opportunities for them to make moves. So what we're basically talking about is a 6-day window, which is an eternity for the Heat to get all of their ducks in a row and then handle Duncan Robinson. And now, while all of that's happening, right? The Knicks have $25 million invested in an offer sheet for Duncan Robinson. Not a contract, an offer sheet.
An offer sheet, that they can't spend elsewhere.
All of these, right. So they have $25 million locked into a player that they can't lock into. And then all of the players that they might want are quickly coming off the board, because why are they going to stick around and wait until the Knicks are off the market? The Mavs, for example, they look at Fournier and say, hey, if the Knicks aren't going to spend on Evan Fournier and they're kind of locked into all this, screw it. We got money to burn. We'll bring in Fournier, and then he's off the board. And then the Heat match that offer on Duncan Robinson. And where does it leave the Knicks? It leaves the Knicks striking out on their big target of Duncan Robinson and having no one to take the money that they have and no real replacement. And then they're shit out of luck.
I think they could have their cake and eat it too. Concern. No, I think they can have their cake and eat it too. Because
I just don't. Not when it comes to Duncan Robinson.
So with Robinson, for 4 for 100, it would not need to start at 25, because with 5% raises, you could start at around what? 23 and change? Something along those lines?
Yes.
Okay, sure. Great. So if you wanted to go and sign Evan Fournier on day one of free agency, which I believe we'll do. I believe by 6:05 on Monday night, we're going to be sitting here saying, okay, they got Evan Fournier for 4 years and damn close to $80 million. Maybe not quite 80, but close. You could start Evan Fournier at 18 and get him pretty close to 80. I think it actually needs to be like 18.6 with 5% raises. If you do Kevin Knox, as I said, and you send Kevin Knox out in a sign and trade in which you get back Dennis Schroeder and you waive the aforementioned Luka Vildoza, you could get damn close to being able to have Fournier, Schroeder on the number you want Schroeder, and still have that offer sheet out to Duncan Robinson. Maybe it's not 100. Maybe it's 4 for 92. Something that they know Riley is not going to match.
Okay, but let's also consider this. There are 5 starting spots.
Yes.
Right? We know Mitch, Randall, and RJ are starting.
Yes, and then Duncan Robinson.
You just signed Evan Fournier.
He's going to be the 6th man.
Evan Fournier. So Evan Fournier is signing up to be the 6th man now?
Yes, yes.
Why is he signing up to be the 6th man when we know he's
getting
a starter?
Paid $80 million.
He can get $80 million and still be a starter for a team like Dallas. It's just a matter of whether they want to pay him or not.
I think Dallas would rather stick with Tim Hardaway Jr. Stick with the devil you know.
But
I'm telling you, man.
You were right. It is a bad shit crazy theory in my mind. You're absolutely right. And I also think there are 5 words that come to my mind when it comes to Duncan Robinson and the Heat. 5 words.
What?
And it's over Pat Riley's dead body. The idea that he's going to let Duncan Robinson waltz over to the Knicks. But then again, he could all be like, you know what? But you know what? If he lets Duncan Robinson go to the Knicks for $25 million a year on average, let's say it is the 23 or whatever starting amount, and he lets him go, that just shows how Pat Riley fucked over the Knicks again. Because he's just, he's basically being like, okay, cool. No, what do you mean no? If Pat Riley is letting Duncan Robinson walk to the Knicks, that basically means, you overpaid so much for him. You could take him. That's fine. We love Duncan Robinson.
No, that means Mickey Arison's
if you're paying
cheap
25,
fuck.
That's good. No, it doesn't, because Mickey Arison has spent before. It's not about spending for him. And again, I still think their thought process here is, again, as you're saying, the Dragic sign and trade, get Lowry into the building. If they have to clear some money other ways, they can do that.
Yes.
But then they could say, yeah, cool, let's go over the cap, re-sign Duncan Robinson. We can agree to, you know, $18 million, $19 million a year, reduce his cap hold to create a little bit more flexibility, do all of that, and then still have Duncan Robinson as a starter for their team, making money in Miami, no taxes from the state level, all of this. That's just how I see it. I can't. It also would be the antithesis of everything the Knicks have worked on doing. And then it's this mindset of what you're selling to the fans, right? So you've taken, I understand the appeal of a sign and trade for a star down the line, especially next year. Hell, it could even be in 2023. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But to then say to your fans, like, hey, we kept all this cap space open for Duncan Robinson to get a starting salary of $23.5 million.
Damn right we did.
What are you selling to people? You're basically
You're selling to people this. Here's what you're selling to people. You're
selling them like
you know, collegiate, you know what you're selling to
all American Davis Bertans.
No, you're selling to people this on the poster right there. RJ Barrett and Julius Randle. You know what RJ Barrett and Julius Randle are? Those are two guys who need the ball in their hands, and those are two guys who are not yet at this point, right? Top of the line on ball players in the NBA. Julius Randle's pretty close. RJ Barrett's not there yet. How do you toe the line between keeping RJ Barrett on the path to develop as a premier on ball player in the NBA? You get him Duncan Robinson. Because if you inject Duncan Robinson into any offense, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what offense you inject him into. He automatically ups the ante for everybody else in it. He makes everybody else look better. He's the single most dangerous off-ball player in the entire league, and it's not close. And if you think I'm nuts,
off-ball player.
That's, and if you think I'm nuts, go look at Klay Thompson's salary with the Golden State Warriors. And I know Klay Thompson is one of the premier defenders before he tore his ACL. Was one of the premier defenders in the entire league. And that is the reason why he got paid $40 million a year. Klay Thompson doesn't put Klay Thompson scored whatever. How many points did he score without? What did he take? 6 dribbles? 8 dribbles? Where the fuck he took in that game? He scored 30 something points in a quarter.
11
dribbles. Great. $40 million a year. The definition of an off-ball player. Not a single person on earth said that man was overpaid until he got hurt.
You know
hurt.
Why? Because he was also one of the best wing defenders and defenders, period, in the NBA.
Duncan Robinson, averaged 32 minutes a game in the finals against the Los Angeles Lakers. The dude could hold. He's not a great defender.
Okay, right. So we're giving $25 million to a not great defender who's very good off ball, but isn't going to help you with a lot of creation. He's not going to help you run pick and roll.
Listen. What is he going to do? Greatest shooting season in the history of the NBA for non-big men.
That's fantastic, John. That's great. But at $25 million,
he's worth it and then some.
Maybe this is just because tension's rising with free agency on the horizon. I don't know if we've ever disagreed on a topic more in our almost 3 years of doing this pod. And I love it. I love that we're having this conversation.
I'm all in on Duncan Robinson. I'm telling you right now, I'm all in on Duncan Robinson. And listen, if you're right. And if you're right, and it like, what's the worst thing that happened? Worst thing that happened is they made Pat Riley pay out the ass. And they're the only team in the NBA that could do it. They're the only team in the NBA that could do it. Cause there's no other team is going to make him an offer sheet. And by the way,
what's stopping the Mavs from doing the exact same thing? Stopping the Mavs from going like, oh, hey, we, you know, like you're saying the devil we know and Tim Hardaway Jr. If Duncan Robinson is as good as you are vouching for him, and I think his agent would even be very thrilled that you are making this argument.
I should be his agent.
You should be his agent. But here's the thing. If Duncan Robinson's that good, then why wouldn't the Mavs just say to Tim Hardaway Jr., hey, you know how Detroit's apparently interested in you? Go ahead. We're going to get the greatest off-ball shooter who has ever lived on this planet.
And you know what?
Robinson.
When Dallas is holding a championship parade in a year or two, I'm going to come back to you and be like, see, that could have been us.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. But,
Andrew's face is fantastic.
But yeah.
Dallas is Luka. What are you doing?
I know. I'm kidding. My wife just told me, you're being very loud and waking up the baby in her crib. This is what Duncan Robinson gets me very excited. What can I tell you?
That was incredible.
Thank you. All right, I think we've done this about as well as we could do it. Did we miss any big ticket free agency items?
I have a mini producer's corner.
Well, I think we're good to throw it to you.
Thank you.
I felt a pain. I felt a vein pop as I was having this conversation. I just want you to know that.
Jeremy's face just froze at one point, and like some of it was internet connection, but it was also like appropriate the moment that it froze. Yes. And it was just like, am I really arguing? Like, what are we talking about?
I didn't think I was waking up today and arguing about Duncan Robinson and the Knicks, but here we are.
Versus Klay Thompson, Jeremy.
Klay Thompson never had a shooting season as good as Duncan Robinson has had.
Yeah.
Duncan Robinson never had a defensive season as good as Klay Thompson has had.
There we go. Anyway, so producer's corner. I just want to go through a list of free agents and go back and forth with you guys. Just say the team that you think they will end up on. We are less than 24 hours until we will know some answers to these questions. All right. Reggie Bullock. Great start.
Sorry.
Celtics.
Celtics? Okay.
I'm going to say Celtics.
He used to be a Laker, right?
Yeah, they're not going to be able to offer him more than the tax player mid-level of 5.9.
Fair. Okay.
They can't acquire him via sign and trade. I'll go Celtics. That's fine.
Alec Burks.
Knicks.
Okay.
Think room exception.
Think I'm back. Okay. Jeremy.
This is boring. Knicks. I don't think it'll be the room exception, though. I think they'll keep his cap hold and sign him about $7 million.
What's his cap hold again?
$7.2 million.
$7.2.
Yeah.
Nerlens Noel.
Not the Knicks.
I'm going to say Denver. JaVale McGee replacement. Although that would be, you know, room exception as well, but that might be his market.
Are they going to have the money? Yeah, they have the money now. They trade Josh. Dallas.
Frank.
Raptors.
Okay. You're gonna say France?
What is the joke?
You have
Why
to
do
say
you hate
it
him so much, John? Why do you hate him?
No, I'm kidding.
What did he do to you?
No, I don't. I just listen. I hope if he gets multiple guaranteed years, I will eat a piece of this submarine this yellow submarine that my daughter made at day camp. Live on our next show. If he gets or whatever. He signs. If he gets multiple guaranteed years from an NBA team,
Option won't count as guaranteed.
No. It is what it is at some point. Spurs.
Okay. Tosh.
Knicks.
All right.
Knicks.
And then Derrick Rose. That covers the Knicks free agents.
They just don't have the money. The Bulls. I mean, Knicks.
So you're saying the Knicks.
So I'm saying my entire Goran Dragic theory is wrong.
Yeah.
Yes. Knicks.
Jeremy.
All right. I'm going to be bold on this one. Bold and brash. I want to say that after striking out on so many free agents, that Derrick Rose will be a Pelican.
Wow. Okay.
I think it'll be Bulls, but I just want to say Pelicans because that would
Pelicans,
be hilarious. So
that would be funny.
We got a Woj tweet.
What is the tweet?
Once discussions are permitted to begin, because obviously discussions are not yet permitted to begin. So obviously discussions have not yet happened yet, because that would be tampering. Once discussions are permitted to begin with the opening of NBA free agency on Monday, the Miami Heat are positioning themselves to become front runners. But how many couches was that? That's more couches than Barbie Dreamhouse. Mm-hmm. That was off the top. Mm-hmm. Are positioning themselves to become front runners to land Toronto's Kyle Lowry in a sign and trade agreement.
Well, that spoils the rest of this list. And I'm going to go through just a couple that are regular free agents, not Knicks free agents. So CP3, I think you guys answered this. You think he'll go back?
Suns.
Yeah, I think he'll go back.
Back to the Suns. Kawhi, I just put him on here so we can have the quick question of
going back.
Going back 1-1, mm-hmm. Jeremy. And then he'll
one-and-one.
sets him up for 5-2-36. Kyle Lowry, I also think the Heat. Is there anything to deter you guys from thinking the Heat?
Nah, he was always going to the Heat.
Okay. DeMar DeRozan. And this can just be quick. Okay.
DeRozan will be a Jeremy.
I'm gonna say Heat. Yeah.
Wow, Lowry and DeRozan team, because they're gonna lose Duncan Robinson to the Knicks, so they can replace him with DeMar DeRozan.
Four-year max, yeah.
Yeah, couple of future Hall of Famers swapping positions, you know?
Exactly. They can't afford. Man. Fuck. Where's he going to go? I don't know. Fuck. I don't have an answer.
Another Woj tweet. Lowry's long been intrigued with joining Heat star Jimmy Butler in the Miami organization. And now Miami's maneuvered to have two key elements of a possible sign and trade package. Goran Dragic and Precious Chua to offer Raptors once talks can ensue at 6 p.m.
Goran Dragic is Toronto. That's the answer to that question. He's also not a free agent, I guess, now. Okay.
He's not.
You know what? I'm gonna
What are you going to say?
I want to cover my ass. Can I give a different answer than everything I've said on the rest of the pod?
I hope not. Go ahead.
Please don't.
DeRozan will be a Knick.
Okay, so the whole
I'm so breaking glad Jeremy's that brain. We're not doing this in person, or else I would probably murder you.
Cap or no cap, the Duncan Robinson plan. Lonzo Ball,
Bulls,
Pelicans. I think
Pelicans. I think they'll go back. So they end up with Derrick Rose and Lonzo Ball.
I don't know. No, at this point, no. I think he'll be so expensive that he'll go to the Bulls. And the reason why the Bulls won't sign Derrick Rose is because they will have gotten Lonzo Ball at the point where the Pelicans just didn't want to match that much.
Mm-hmm. Schroeder.
So, Knicks.
Dennis Schroeder will be a Knick.
Knick.
Gary Trent Jr.
Raptor.
Yeah, Raptor.
Malik Monk.
That is a tough one.
I mean, as of right now, he's like the seventh most important free agent. Or up there, like top 10.
Wasn't he reported to be interested, or someone was interested in him?
Potentially.
All right. Him and we'll just move on because you guys clearly don't care.
I got one. I'll say for Malik Monk, I'll say Grizzlies.
Okay. Sure. Evan Fournier.
Knicks.
Well, I just said DeRozan for Knicks, so I can't say Fournier for Knicks, can I?
Okay.
Who else can afford him? See, there's really nobody. There's nobody has cap space.
The Mavs?
No, I think Timmy's going to go back to the Mavs.
Jeremy, do you see Tim Hardaway? Because that's the next one, Tim Hardaway Jr. Do you see him going back to the Mavs?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I don't see them really getting many good free agents, if any.
I don't think they can. Their big move is a trade market, whatever they can get for KP.
Kemba Walker.
Ah, there you go.
We'll see.
Can I change one of my answers?
Oh, God. Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
I don't think DeRozan's going to come to the Knicks. I think Fournier will come to the Knicks. Then where's DeRozan going to go? I really don't know where DeRozan's going to go. DeRozan's going to go. You know what? Never mind. DeRozan will go to the... God. No, he's not going to take their $5.9 million.
Miami makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, but they can't afford him. How are they going to afford him?
You just had him, Duncan Robinson leaving.
Yeah, but so that would need to happen in a sign-and trade involving San Antonio.
Okay.
No, it was just
maybe that could be how they do it.
It's an extension. It's an exception. He'll get some sort of exception. That's mine.
Yeah, but that's nothing. That's nothing. There's no money.
If you can't think of his market, then that's a pretty good indication of what he's going to get, which is going to be the exception.
Which is why I said Knicks, because the Knicks will be there with a check.
You just undid it. I can try to unkill you. But if you go back, then I have to re-kill you. That's kind of the way it works. I'm sorry.
I think what we've decided is that tune in tomorrow night to find out where DeRozan goes.
Final answer. DeRozan, Dallas, Timmy, Detroit.
Okay, that's fair. Last but not least, Carmelo Anthony. There was a report today that both the Knicks and Lakers have interest in signing the 7-time All-Star and future Hall of Famer.
Lakers.
I think the Lakers, too. I actually hope the Lakers, too.
I do too. Listen, I noticed the Melo jersey's
not. Notice the Melo jersey's not up today. You should want more for Carmelo Anthony than to go, like, take possessions away from RJ Barrett. Like, go trophy hunting, dude.
John, yeah, I'll make it 3 for 3, Lakers.
Lakers, okay. And that is Producer's Corner. Tune in tomorrow night for our extravaganza. Hopefully, Jeremy doesn't kill John and. You know, I love you, John, but hopefully nothing he said today happens. And hopefully we have a fun time from 5 to 11 p.m. Reacting to everything that happens in free agency. So,
all right.
There you go.
Sounds good.
I feel like there's an elephant in the room that I'm okay, by the way. I really am fine.
I was about to ask, you know, reporting live from quarantine, Andrew Claudio.
Yeah. I'll just say a quick, like.
Yeah, please.
So I'll just say I feel fine. I feel healthy. I've tested negative twice. The person, the two different doctors that I spoke to when I got my tests were like, you probably are fine. It's the fact you were in a car with this person for 2 hours that you should be careful and quarantined for like 3 to 5 days. And if on Wednesday you still have no symptoms and you've tested negative, then you're fine. So it looks like I'll honestly be fine by Wednesday because I'm vaccinated. And that's like just the theme of what I have to say. Like, I get some concerns. Like, there was another friend of mine on the trip has had an issue with not knowing. Like, he's not anti-vax. His mother-in-law lives with them and she's vaccinated. He is not against the vaccine. He and his wife have had trouble getting pregnant. And he just wanted to see like 6 months of data to see whether or not he should get it. Was probably going to get it sometime in the fall. And then all this happened. So that I think I respect and I empathize. I disagree, but I empathize. I just like the amount of ways that this can all go wrong is if people from their phones tweet out that the government's trying to control you. And not to make this a big political statement, but I just would very much like to get past this. The reason I'm taking this so seriously is because this disease killed my uncle, and now an advanced form of it is taking hold of this country. So before it mutates again, please, everybody, get your vaccines, get your shots, and let's, like I said, move on from this together.
That was very well said, Andrew.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I approve. I approve. Nick's Film School approves of this message.
Yes. I will make sure not to, you know, include any of this. We'll go back to the jokes and the making fun of John tomorrow night on the live stream. Listen, promise.
Man, you make fun of me all you want. Now, get it all in.
I swear, Jeremy, I need this all to happen in a way because I want your reaction. And then I'll tweet it out and then just to see your brain break. And that will be a video we post every time something crazy happens from the Knicks Film School Twitter account.
I just saw there's a report apparently that the Knicks are pushing hard for Miles Turner from J. Michael. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and look at that article. Actually, I bought a subscription to, was it the Indy Star? Yeah, I think it's the Indy Star. To check out his stuff. So it'll be interesting. Okay. This was fun. I think I woke up my children. My wife's probably not very happy with me, but it was all worth it for good content, right? Good content. We're going to have some fun. We're going to have some fun during this free agency period. I'm looking forward to it. Everybody, thanks for listening to another episode of the Knicks Film School Podcast. Subscribe, rate, review. We'll see you soon. Adios.